the tax relief needs to be Florida first.
And these trends are not expected to change. So our funding system has to change. We can't just send the money to the school district hoping that it will all work out.
I believe there's no such thing as a perpetual red district or a perpetual blue district.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Len Hatter in for Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. HR Florida State Council, affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Management, advocating for the workplace on behalf of 16,000 human resource professionals and 6,300 Florida employers. HR Florida State Council. More at hrflorida.org.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Len Hatter in for Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, Florida Republican leaders are doubling down on their efforts to help homeowners save on taxes. While one group is focusing on reducing sales taxes, the governor is prioritizing eliminating property taxes for good. Adrian Andrews has more.
Governor Ron DeSantis and Florida House Speaker Daniel Perez are at odds over whose tax cut proposal is best. DeSantis, during his Monday press conference in Orlando, advocated for an immediate property tax reduction for all Florida homestead residents. He's urging the House to swap its sales tax proposal for a one-time property tax break for those owners.
People need relief. We're in good fiscal shape. We have the ability to provide relief. We have a responsibility to get it done.
Perez, on the other hand, wants to decrease the state's sales tax. The House recently proposed dropping sales taxes from 6% to 5.25%, which could cover more people, including those who visit and spend in Florida.
Tax dollars don't belong to the government. They belong to the people.
DeSantis argues that focus should be kept on the residents who occupy homes in Florida and are being forced to pay more in taxes after their property assessments have gone up. At Monday's press conference, DeSantis called for a constitutional amendment eliminating property taxes to be on next year's ballot.
The tax relief needs to be Florida first. We need to focus on our Florida residents. And to focus on, in this case, Florida homeowners, particularly our homesteaded homeowners.
DeSantis has been critical of local governments seeing revenue increases due to increasing property values and wants to scale that back. Senate President Ben Albritton said in a statement that he is critical of the idea of cutting taxes because of its potential harmful effects on the state's budget. He said in a statement that Florida doesn't need a repeat of the Great Recession and is urging the sides to find a compromise. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Florida lawmakers are trying to revise school funding in the wake of what's known as universal school choice. That law has made all Florida students eligible for scholarships to private schools and for homeschooling. But since then, as Margie Menzel reports, it's been hard for the money to follow the student as intended.
Under a law passed 2 years ago, Florida tax dollars can go to private schools in the form of scholarships. The problems come when students switch from private schools to public ones. If they change their minds during the school year, the money doesn't follow them, and the public schools do the work without getting paid for it. Crestview Republican Senator Don Gates says in the new environment, the state's current funding system has been overtaken by change.
And the change is Florida's policy of allowing parents to choose their school, public or private, or homeschool, and then allowing the money that is designated for the education of that child, to follow the child to where she or he is being educated. And so today, Mr. Chair, we have 543,000 students in scholarship programs.
16% of the school-aged children in Florida are involved in the scholarship programs, Gates told the committee, amounting to $4 billion this year. 45 of the state's 67 school districts have declining enrollment, he added, while private and home schools are expanding with scholarship students.
And these trends are not expected to change. So our funding system has to change. We can't just send the money to the school district hoping that it will all work out, because students, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands more each year are leaving the neighborhood public school option and going to one of the other options that is now provided for in law.
Gates's proposal would tighten the funding options for students. Rather than having a period of open enrollment throughout the year, they could enroll only in the spring and the fall. The bill would create what is known as a categorical budget fund for the Family Empowerment Scholarship Program, with funds earmarked for specific programs. Additionally, the measure would use ID numbers to track students and background checks to ensure that those receiving taxpayer funds are entitled to do so. But Tamarack Democratic Senator Rosalind Osgood is dubious. While her grandchildren are homeschooled, a choice she supports, Osgood voted no on universal school choice.
And I'm going to keep voting no on these things until we look at the public school system in the same way and how we can fix it. If I'm in private school, I don't get free lunch, free transportation, and free activity fees. I get that in the public school system. If I'm in the charter school, I get some services and not the others.
Committee Chairman Danny Burgess is positive about the bill.
This is incredibly necessary after having seen second and third order consequences of moving fast, how we can make sure that we balance efficiencies and accountabilities and get this right.
Still, he's acknowledged, the choice program needs funding changes in order to ensure it doesn't run out of money and remains viable long term.
This is a big deal. And I really believe that what we have before us is an attempt to make sure that we save this program so that it lasts and that it fulfills its promise for families that want to take advantage of it.
The committee passed the bill 8-1, with Osgood the sole dissenting vote. I'm Margie Menzel.
Finally tonight, voters will decide tomorrow what two candidates will fill vacancies in Florida's 1st and 6th congressional districts. Tristan Wood reports both races have drawn national attention from Democrats as their outcomes could influence the balance of power in D.C.
The two seats were made vacant after Trump tapped the two congressmen in them to serve in his administration. Matt Gaetz was tapped for attorney general, but later withdrew amid a House ethics probe over allegations of drug use and sex trafficking. Michael Waltz was named National Security Advisor. The races feature Democrats Gay Valamont and Josh Wheel, and Republicans Jimmy Patronis and Randy Fine. President Donald Trump won both districts in November by 30-plus points. But this time around, National Democrats have donated over $15 million to their candidates, while Republicans only brought in $3 million. University of Central Florida political science professor Aubrey Jewett says Democrats have given so much because this is their first chance to signal resistance to the Trump administration.
I think a lot of Democrats around the country feel that the Democrats in Congress have been pretty ineffective in combating Trump and the congressional Republicans. And they've been itching to do something other than just post on social media or write letters to the editor or what have you.
The race is drawing big names from Democrats to help campaign, like DNC chair Ken Martin. He recently campaigned for Wheel, and Martin says his party must contest every race, even those with large Republican advantages.
I believe there's no such thing as a perpetual red district or a perpetual blue district. The DNC is not going to leave any race uncontested or left behind. We believe we have a real shot in this race here in Florida 6, and we're putting a lot of time, energy, and money here.
The Valamont Patronis CD1 contest in North Florida still has Florida's former chief financial officer Patronis heavily favored to win. But the Wheel Fine race for CD6 has been within the margin of error. That has led some prominent Republicans like Governor Ron DeSantis to blame the underperformance of Fine on the state senator.
Do I think that they will get even close to the margins that I received, that President Trump received? No. Is that a reflection on the president? Absolutely not. It's a reflection of the candidate that's running in that race.
Even with the polling numbers, both contests are still a long shot for Democrats. That has some in the party, like consultant and Obama campaign alum Steve Schale, questioning whether the investment from Democrats around the country is worth it.
Hey, I don't blame people for contributing. I wish there was a way to sort of harness this energy, angst, whatever sort of driving people to, you know, throw money at a plus 25 Republican district to throw money that actually, you know, aid to races that actually need it.
Currently, Republicans hold 218 seats in Congress, and Democrats hold 213. There are four vacant seats. An upset by Democrats in either race would narrow the already slim control the GOP has over the U.S. House. I'm Tristan Wood.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. On many of these Florida Public Radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things happening at the state capitol. That show is also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Len Hatter in for Tom Flanagan, and you're listening to Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. HR Florida State Council, affiliate of the Society of Human Resource Management, advocating for the workplace on behalf of 16,000 human resource professionals and 6,300 Florida employers. HR Florida State Council. More at hrflorida.org. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.